Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 27th of July. And our top story today is that a baby's been taken to hospital with life-threatening injuries after falling from the window of a flat above a shop in Gillingham. Emergency crews were called to Woodlands Road after the little boy landed on the pavement outside a Best One convenience store just after six last night. Reporter Joe Crossley has been at the scene.
From footage that I've seen, two drivers were waiting at the traffic lights when it all happened. They rushed out of their cars to check on the child's condition. A few moments later, a man scoops up the baby and cuddles it. Around 5 minutes later, paramedics show up in an ambulance. Today, there are still police at the scene, so we've seen two detectives knocking on doors in the area, which is sort of based on a big junction which connects Canadian Avenue with Woodlands Road and Cornwallis Avenue. Neighbours have told me that there were two ambulances outside the Best One shop and were there for some time while an air ambulance landed in a nearby field.
Police have told us they were contacted by South East Coast Ambulance Service and an investigation is underway. Elsewhere, a man and two children are in a stable condition in hospital after being rescued from the sea in Margate. The Coast Guard helicopter landed on the beach on Saturday afternoon following reports of people in difficulty in the water. They were flown to hospital for treatment. Crews had to deal with six separate fires in Kent over the weekend. Fields, crops and bushes caught alight in areas including Tunbridge, Faversham, Edenbridge and Whitstable. A warning's been issued about the dangers of lighting bonfires, barbecues or throwing away cigarettes in the countryside. Now, the owner of a convenience store in Rochester says he's seen a spike in shoplifting during the hot weather. CCTV footage shows children stealing ice cream and drinks from the Premier store on Dels Road four times in the space of a week. The shop is run by Krish Hinglajia, who's been chatting to Kristin Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV.
Basically, it started on 17th of July, and that was on afternoon when my dad was here present. And that happened 3 o'clock. And all of a sudden, like group of kids, which is like 8 to 10 kids, come in my shop and started nicking my sweets and lollies and all, like, you know.
Did you call the police?
I did. First of all, I didn't do on 17th. I did it on 18th, which second instance that thing happened. My dad was still there, and all of a sudden, same kids came and same kids start nicking lollies, sweets, and all, like, you know.
And did the police come?
No, they didn't. They didn't came instantly. They have just given me a reference, crime reference number, and they're just given an online portal, which you're gonna fill your forms details initially, and after filling that details, they're gonna make a crime investigation, like, you know. But police didn't came straight down.
Do you feel like the police could have done more, or like they should be doing more?
They should be doing more because we are local, and like, you know, locals are always always here to help, like, you know.
And they're stealing sweets and chocolate, cheap things. How much of an impact does that have, even though maybe it's just an ice cream or some sweets?
At the moment it's summer, so ice cream is must, like, you know, everyone is feeling thirsty. So our basic is to sell ice creams and create more profit. So if kids coming and stealing my ice creams and drinks, that gives a deep impact, like, you know, on my business.
Police say they're investigating and added that they're determined to tackle retail crime in Medway and will do what they can to bring offenders to justice.
Kent Online News.
This is one of our most read stories on the website today. Pictures have emerged of a huge pile of waste that's apparently been left outside homes in Chatham for more than a year. A mum who lives in Weedswood says it started with an overflowing skip, which has now attracted more household rubbish and dumped furniture. furniture. MHS Homes say they were only made aware of concerns last month and they've made arrangements for it to be removed. Concerns have been raised about a Westrum hotel's late-night alcohol bid. The King's Arms wants to serve drinks an hour later until 1:30 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Residents say it'll lead to increased noise, but hotel bosses have told us they'll ensure there's no disruption. Now, figures have revealed the number of Kent children entitled to special needs support who are still waiting for a school place. 417 pupils with Education, Health and Care Plans, or EHCPs, are on the list, and around three quarters of those have been waiting more than 90 days. Many parents say the process of finding a suitable place has left them at breaking point. Amy Ovenden's 11-year-old son, Leighton, has been out of school since January 2025. She's originally from Maidstone and has been chatting to our reporter, Ellie Hodgson, about their experience.
At the tribunal in August, it was agreed that he would have EOTAS, which is education other than at school. So no school place was found for him. EOTAS was agreed. However, it was never properly implemented. So we were given access to a tutor as part of his EOTAS package, but there were lots of elements of his package that were never put in place. So he was meant to have occupational therapy, he was meant to have play therapy. There were so many different components that made up that package, but we only actually ever accessed tuition, which was maybe 5 hours a week. And that is still the same now. So he is entitled to 10 hours of tuition. He accesses about five. We moved to Medway in October. So effectively what happened, I don't know how much you know about the process, but essentially when you move to a different local authority, that local authority has to adopt your EHCP. So we should have had an annual review, which would have meant that we could say, we're not happy with this, we're not happy with that, we're going to now move on to a Medway format of an EHCP. That didn't happen. It only happened, I don't know when it happened, but it was this year. And we've had the annual review, and to date, we still don't have an EHCP back from Medway. So we still currently hold that Kent EHCP, even though we don't live in Kent anymore. And we still have nothing more than that, essentially 5 hours of tuition a week. That's all he accesses, and that's all he has accessed since January 2025.
Goodness me, so it hasn't actually improved much at all. What is the impact that this is having on Leighton and yourself as a family?
He's better than he was when he was at school. He's safer, he's regulated, he's not showing all of those really all of that crisis behaviour that he was showing when he was in school. But he still isn't accessing all of the things that he should be accessing. So when we had his annual review, when the plan was finalised last July or August at tribunal, he was 1 year below his chronological age group for work. A year on, he is now 3 years below. So the regression and the impact of not having the right support, not having the right provision in place, is huge. He's gone back 2 years in comparison to where he was this time last year, which I think really evidences the impact of that lack of provision for him. Obviously, I have to be at home because Leighton is at home all of the time. There is no part of our life where he isn't at home. He is at home 24 hours a day. Even with the tutor, it's in our house. So there is no possibility of me going out to work.
Amy's now set up an independent advice service to help other parents. Rachel Relton is one of them. She spent over a year fighting to get an EHCP for her 13-year-old son, Johnny. He's currently homeschooled while he waits for a suitable place. Rachel's been telling Ellie about the impact it's had.
His self-esteem is so low. It's devastatingly low. You know, his self-worth, his belief in himself. And it is literally, when I say months, I mean months, like 6, 7, 8 months of building up just his self-esteem. So getting your teeth, because he has sensory issues, so getting your teeth brushed with a non-minty toothpaste, that's a win, John. And if that's all we do today, that's a win. And it's just literally building that up. And obviously working from home 8-9 hours a day, that's a lot of stress. And I've got another child, you know, who's just done his GCSEs. It's a massive impact. And it's just, it's setting the right expectations for Johnny so he can achieve without overwhelming him and making him feel dreadful about himself. Because that's what happens. You know, he feels stupid. He thinks he was top in maths. You know, he needs to understand that academia isn't matched.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it's taken a big toll on his ability to leave the house in terms of anxiety. Only back in May was the first time he had an old friend from secondary come and visit. Wow. That's the first. So it's taken nearly a year for him to feel comfortable having a friend in his space.
Looking ahead, what is the ideal outcome for Johnny, for you? Where would you like to see the next year take him?
Two places. Out of the house. And really, that he is able to access the same opportunities as anybody else. And it is as simple as that. Right now, I think the last 2 years, he's been obsessed with cooking. So we facilitate that as much as possible. You know, and whether that's a package that's online where he, like we are, and he is able to continue engage and receive those qualifications, or even at a college. I know Broadstairs, for example, do a catering course for 14 to 16 year olds. You know, it's just to have the same opportunities. I don't mind what he picks, but it's having those opportunities available. And right now he doesn't have those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And a world where we've got tech, we've got alternatives, we've got 60 years of research saying that it isn't all in a classroom is how you learn. I don't get why we're not making this wider, wider, you know, accessibility to people. But that's, I mean, and also that's, I try to say, well, that's what I want. I want him not to have any of the struggles, but, you know, I think what he wants is just not to feel stupid, because he's not fitting into somebody else's idea of what he should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to undo all that. This last year of him being at home, that is the only benefit that we've had of him being home, is that we've been able to build his self-worth.
Well, a spokesperson from Kent County Council says they strive to ensure that no child is out of education and recognise delays can be extremely difficult for children, young people and their families. They said KCC manages 22,500 active EHCPs and said the FOI figures account for around 1.4% of all pupils with an EHCP. The statement went on to say that rising demand is putting pressure on the system, but bosses in insists they always try to find school places as quickly as possible.
Kent Online reports.
Now, if you're planning a day trip to London during the summer holidays, the advice is to check the trains, as two of the capital stations are closed. £20 million worth of engineering work is taking place at Charing Cross and Waterloo East. Tracks are being replaced, platforms upgraded, and a pedestrian walkway needs to be repaired. We've been chatting to Scott Brightwell, who's from Southeastern Railway.
We will be replacing equipment installed in the 1990s, so things like track, rebuilding some of the platforms, and we'll actually be doing maintenance structural repairs on a bridge that's over 160 years old. So it's essential we do this work, and we're trying to do it in the time of year where we get lower passenger numbers. It's about 20% lower throughout the summer holidays. Obviously the school holidays have started, so we do see lower passenger numbers at this time of year. There's never really a good time to close the railway, so we've tried to do it in a way that it happens when there are lower passenger numbers, but also that people can complete their journeys. So our timetable is going to be significantly different throughout that period. We will be having trains that are diverted. Instead of going into Charing Cross, they will go to London Victoria, London Blackfriars or London Cannon Street, or terminate at London Bridge itself. To make sure that passengers can complete their journeys, we've got numerous ticket acceptances in place for relevant bus routes or tube journeys. So, you know, reasonable alternative routes are available for people to complete their journeys throughout this period of time. So, you know, lots and lots of work going on, but it is going to make a change. I'd really implore customers to check their specific journeys for that period of time, because some days the first or last trains may be a bit different, and we will have some changes to our timetable. And we've got ticket acceptance in place. And as I say, you know, these journeys are going to be different, but the key message is that London is open. You can, will be able to complete your journey. We have put lots and lots of effort and teams deployed to different London Underground stations, for example, to help customers go seamlessly throughout their network to wherever their end or start destination is. It's never an easy decision to close the railway, but actually we're trying to do this in a way that lets people complete their journeys and does it at the time of year when there's the least impact on customers. The alternative to this 22-day closure was to actually close the railway on over 60 weekends, which would have been more disruptive and impacted local businesses a lot more.
A former post office in Ashford is going to be turned into a 33-bed HMO. The site on Tufton Street next to County Square Shopping Centre has been empty since 2019. The rooms will be split across four flats, which developers say will provide affordable accommodation for key workers, graduates and local people. Critics have raised concerns about parking overcrowding and potential antisocial behaviour. Work is underway on the transformation of a derelict Kent Seafront Hotel. The former Romney Bay House Hotel in Littlestone has been empty since closing 4 years ago. Bosses want to open the site next summer. It'll reopen as The Gallivant. An Asian-inspired restaurant in Ashford is set to revive an iconic town centre landmark. Kokoro will expand its site on the corner of Bank Street and the High Street by putting outdoor seating in the bandstand. The Borough Council say the structure will remain available for community events. And plans have been unveiled for a Mexican-Italian restaurant at a former Pizza Hut in Canterbury. The American chain closed its doors in the High Street in August after decades of serving diners. It comes as new figures reveal 90% of units in the city are occupied.
Kent Online reports.
Now, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. A Canterbury couple who started fostering while in their 20s have been sharing their experience to try and encourage more young people to consider it. India Rossbridge and Ryan Hallett are both former teachers and welcomed their foster son 2 years ago. Stats in the UK show the average age of foster parents is 55. Well, India is now 30 and Ryan is 31. Both admitted wanting a job where they were helping other people but having a better work-life balance. They've been speaking to Naila from our colleagues at KMTV.
I think it's kind of brought us closer together because obviously now that we're not teaching, we have a lot more time together.
Yeah.
But I also think that it really like makes you sort of like work together as a team.
100%.
I also think like the actual process of like becoming foster carers, it got us to like talk about all different situations in our life, and I think
We hadn't had some of those conversations before, to be fair, had we?
We had some of those like really kind of deep, well obviously we have had some deep conversations, but as getting in as deep as that. So that was really nice. And I think as well, like fostering kind of even teaches you like new things about yourself, new skills. I think it kind of like forces you to kind of be a better person and how can I say, be a lot more empathetic and like putting yourself into other people's shoes a lot more. I think it also, like for me personally, has helped me to kind of like understand, you know, people and their difficulties as a whole and might kind of see people in a different way and understand maybe why someone is the way they are because of sort of the experiences that they've had. But yeah, I think it's given us a lot more freedom and it's made us into like a little family as well, which is
absolutely
really nice.
Yeah.
And how about yourself? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd say exactly the same. It's given us a much better balance than what we had in teaching, but it's also given us that family structure that we were kind of hoping to get as well. I think I was a bit nervous about when I was a teacher. I couldn't picture any more time in my life to devote to having a family. And having left teaching now, it's been really nice. We've got much more balance. We've got that family structure. And yeah, it's lovely.
We get out and about it more as well, don't
100%,
we? 100%, like, you've got to think of days out that we should do and like different things.
Yeah.
I think it's forced us to kind of like go
and
see
more places. Way more places that we wouldn't have been to otherwise. And
And you've only been fostering for 2 years, but can you imagine how different your life would have been if you hadn't fostered Angus?
Honestly can't imagine like life without without him now. I couldn't. Like, no. I really couldn't imagine life.
He's part of the family now, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
He's really settled in. And
yeah, and he slotted like not only just in well, really well with us, but I think also in like our wider family as well.
Yeah,
like,
everyone absolutely loves him.
Obviously,
yeah.
My parents foster as well. He gets on really well with their boys, gets on really well with like your sister and her children, yeah, and that side of the family.
You need to be at least 21 to be a foster carer in the UK and are paid an allowance per child. According to ISP Fostering, there are currently more than 81,000 children in care in the country, including 2,000 here in Kent. Winter Olympic champion Matt Weston will be picking up an honorary degree from the University of Kent later. He won gold in the skeleton earlier this year and will be made a Doctor of the University at a ceremony at Canterbury Cathedral. Bishop of Dover Rose Hudson-Wilkin is also being honoured with a Doctor of Divinity. Another heat health alert has been issued for Kent as temperatures rise again this week. It's expected to hit 30 degrees on some days. The yellow alert comes into force tomorrow and lasts until Friday. And the main set of tickets are now on sale for this year's Canterbury Festival. There'll be a circus show in the cathedral, as well as art displays and concerts during the two-week event in October. Celebrities including Celia Imrie, Craig Revel-Horwood and author Jacqueline Wilson are due to make appearances.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it was a defeat at the weekend for Gillingham in their latest pre-season friendly. They lost 2-1 in a behind-closed-doors match against Brentford B. Despite the result, Gill's boss Gareth Ainsworth is feeling positive.
Fantastic. First of all, thank you to Brentford and Sam Saunders and his team. You know, they were great. Sam played for me back at Wickham, so it's really good to have a relationship here and be able to come and play their 23s, which, you know, very, very decent side, you know, and, yeah, some players they've paid money for and... Yeah, like I say, I think we had about 18 shots at goal, you know, which is, for me, in a League Two game, you're saying that's good enough, that wins games, you know. But unfortunately today, they wouldn't go in. We conceded a couple, one from a corner, one from an absolute freak goal. But, you know, we're really happy where we are in pre-season. Really good vibe about the place. The boys know they played well. You know, when we put the high press on today, I thought we looked very good. Lots of energy. And yeah, it's a great workout for us, you know, and takes us into next week, which is the last week of pre-season. Two games at the end of the week, and everyone will have 90 minutes, hopefully, by the time Luton comes around. Boys are in a good place, you know, some real positives from the new boys. They're gelling well, you know, they're all together, which is the big thing for me, because I've always said, you know, tactics and formations and things, they don't always... well. They contribute to winning games, but they're not everything. People and players, that's what wins you games. That's what wins you trophies and leagues. And at the moment, I'm really happy where we are. You know, there's a couple I think there's still going to be a bit more movement with the squad, ins and outs. But it will be very minor now compared to the 16 that went in the summer. You know, it's a really, really good place we're in. Good balance, you know. So people will be screaming, oh, left backs, right backs, and all that. Just trust me, we'll get this and we'll get it right. It's something that we're looking at. It's something that we want to improve on. But yeah, I'm pretty happy where we are.
On to cricket, and Kent have been beaten by Gloucestershire in the One Day Cup. The Spitfires scored 208 runs in Bristol, and that was beaten by the hosts with 83 balls to spare. Kent are back in action tomorrow as they travel to take on Lancashire. And two Kent swimmers have won silver medals at the Commonwealth Games. Emily Smith and Eva Okaro are part of the women's 4x100 metre freestyle relay team. They came second behind Australia in the final on Friday night. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.